I do have something I want to ask, but I don't know if I should ask it after now. But I just wanted to ask about everything being an equal with consciousness.
Everything being.
Is everything consciousness, even this?
Is everything consciousness? Well, the immediate answer is yes, but then it's really, really important to know what the thought processes are behind the question, because there are senses in which you could make that statement which would not really be true. You took that question. You take this apple, for example. I'm conscious of this apple. You're conscious of it seeing. I'm conscious of it seeing it and feeling. And we can contrast that, you know, before either of us saw this apple or felt this apple, did the apple even exist? And of course, immediately say, well, that depends. Is there a world out there that's separate from the mind? There is. Maybe it exists. So on and so forth. Getting into a sort of philosophical thing. And although this might sound philosophical, I describe it as more empirical. Empirically, the only things that have ever existed for you or for me have been those things we've been conscious of. And so the very notion of existence, except in an abstract sense and as a philosophical proposition, existence has no meaning outside of our conscious experience of things. And that's one of those things that is so profoundly true that it also seems trivial at the same time. Right? You know, it's sort of like, yeah, well, right, so what? But what it's pointing to is that when we want to discover the true nature of reality and of ourselves, these are exactly the kinds of questions that need to be asked and need to be answered from exactly this kind of perspective to realize that consciousness is such a fundamental ground to everything that really the conscious experience is the ground beyond which where is there to go. And so from that, then we can turn around and say, okay, then all of my exploration of what is reality has to start from that. It has to start from my conscious experience and the nature of my conscious experience, which naturally leads to us doing exactly what we're doing, which is cultivating the mind. Mind is the instrument of conscious experience. And conscious experience of the mind manifests as objects of our attention and the awareness that we experience that's constructed out of consciousness. Okay? So that's what we're really dealing with. It's all, in that sense, it's all about consciousness. And everything, you know, the material objects, value judgments, abstractions, good, bad, everything, they all come down to this function of the mind that we call consciousness. And that's, you know, that's the starting point for our exploration. So, the answer is yes, but what did you mean by the question?
I'm thinking of the David Darling book, Zen Physics. And
the what?
Zen Physics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his whole point is that everything is consciousness, and that scientists have assumed in the past that the brain is a source of consciousness, and he's saying it's not the source of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
that everything is comprised of consciousness already, and when your brain dies, you're free from that misunderstanding. But I guess I'm having a hard time seeing this as conscious.
Well, yeah. Is this conscious? See, it seemed like a really silly question, but you know, if I said, is this person conscious? You'd make a judgment based on your observations comparing what you observe to what you know about yourself, okay? And what this thing in my hand can do is it can memorize everything you say and repeat it back to you. This is a pretty impressive feat. If it has a battery in it. Mm-hmm. Right. But what is it that your brain does?
Same thing.
A lot of it is very similar, isn't it? You know, your senses bring information in. Some parts of your brain process it, but that information that comes in gets stored. And of course, the other thing is that later on, you can do something. You could report that information back to somebody, or you could carry out some action based on that information. But that's still, in a sense, not different than reporting, different kinds of actions, but they're both actions that flow out of an imprint that past experience made on material object. Right? So that's why I may point to that thing and say, well, there's a lot of similarities. We look at organisms with nervous systems, and we look at other people, we look at each other, and we're pretty certain that other people are conscious. You might look at dogs and monkeys and say, well, yeah, they seem conscious too. What about cockroaches and mosquitoes? Well, it's most definitely, at least for me, I think for most people, whatever you call it, it has some things in common with what we see in people and monkeys and dogs, but it's also very different in some ways. Well, what about earthworms? Or it's very, very even much simpler. And the same thing, you see that there's a level of complexity, there's a level of what these nervous systems, what they're able to take in, and what they do, what they're able to take in, how long they're able to retain it, how it modifies the actions that they subsequently perform. There's similarities and there's differences. Differences in degree of complexity, but there's still a fundamental similarity. If I were to define awareness, I would define awareness as the property of a nervous system that events, those events that can be sensed by that nervous system, make an imprint on the nervous system such that it can produce an effect, either immediately or later on. And whether you're talking about an earthworm or a mosquito or a monkey or a person, we see that what they all have in common is that events occurring to that individual can make an imprint that produces an effect, either immediately or later on. And subjectively, we know that as awareness. Objectively, we detect a similarity in process, even in the mosquito, in the earthworm. So that's where the similarity is. What we call consciousness, now if I were to try to define that for you, I'd have to personally take recourse to, well, is that subjective experience, that immediate in the moment experience of knowing something, being conscious of something. And psychologists and neuroscientists have a word for that called qualia, you know, as in quality, Q-U-A-L-I-A. Qualia or quale is something like the blueness of the sky or the warmth that you feel on your skin. But these are very clear, very precise and specific examples of what we talk about. Consciousness is that immediate, subjective, first-person experience of something, right? Does a mosquito have that? Or does an earthworm have that? And certainly in my mind, it's very questionable. It's possible. But in many ways, you see, it's hard for me to imagine that in the sense that I have a conscious experience of things, that these beings with very, very simple nervous systems, that it would be that similar to what I do. But when I think of it in terms of awareness, it's very much the same. Is there a distinct difference between consciousness and awareness? Or is one just a very elaborate form of the other? These are things to think about. But anyway, just to see where this, one of the places this takes us, it takes us many different places, but one of the places that it takes us, we can say, well, okay, we defined awareness in terms of a nervous system, but wait a minute. Let's leave nervous systems out of it. Material processes. Things, events occur to even rocks, mountains, trees, things like that, which leave imprints, which produce effects later on. And see what's happening here is we're starting to see that the most common, ordinary, everyday cause and effect reality hit one rock with another and it breaks the chip out of it. And it bears a permanent imprint of that event that took place. But all of a sudden, these very ordinary cause and effect aspects of material reality that we take so totally for granted, all of a sudden, at a very fundamental level, have something in common with conscious experience, as if they're at one end of the spectrum. And our conscious experience of love and joy is at the other end of the spectrum. A rock with a chip in it at one end, and a human heart opening up in love and joy at the other end. They don't, at least in my mind when I think about these things, they no longer have such a, they no longer seem like such totally different, distinct, terribly separate things as they did before. So there is a sense in which you begin to ask yourself what consciousness is and how it relates to everything else. And you begin to suspect that, well, maybe what we experience in one particular form as consciousness is but one manifestation of something that is of the very essence of everything, all of it is. Matter, energy, spirit, whatever ways that we may see it. But perhaps this consciousness stuff is at the very essence of all of it. I don't know. Could you follow me on that little journey?
Yeah, and I thought Darling made a really good case for it. It made a lot of sense, but I feel like I have to reread it a couple more times to. I couldn't repeat it.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't internalized it.
Right. And she's speaking of a book called Zen Physics. Why? Is it James Darling? Is that his first name?
I think David.
David Darling. Yeah. A very interesting book. And I recommend it to those of you who have time to read, very interesting book. What he provides there is a very intellectual and rational analysis, you know, based on physics and science and philosophy and things like that, of these ideas. And you said you couldn't repeat it because you haven't internalized it. The most important way to internalize it is through your own first-person investigation, so that you, rather than repeating his explanation, you would generate your own from your own understanding. Because who even knows whether David Darling understands this, that the deep sense may just be an abstract, interesting, abstract intellectual idea.
Uh-huh.
But these are very important questions. And they're really important, this question, not his answer. Somebody comes along and says to you, everything's consciousness. Just recognize it, realize it, you know? Everything's consciousness. If he talks really well, it can get you all jazzed up and excited, and, you know, emotional stuff happens, and get a good glow on it. And then it wears off and you're right back. It's fun, but...
Where would you put intelligence in there with consciousness and awareness?
Intelligence? Well, that's a very good question, because, you know, if you look at human brains, and if you compare human brains to the machines that we've developed to do some of the functions for us that usually the human brains used to have to do all by themselves unaided. What you will say is, wow, we've created some really intelligent machines. As a matter of fact, we've created machines that are enormously more intelligent than any human being, but only in some very narrow, specific way. You know, we can create a machine that can beat any human being at playing chess. You know, and recently, I believe it's called Watson, the program that has challenged people on
Stanford.
Right. And this was a really tricky thing, because they had to create a machine that could understand human language and the nuances of human language and puns and things like this well enough. And Watson has done a pretty good job, doesn't always win at Jeopardy, but recently beat the champions at Jeopardy, right? It doesn't always win. So we can create machines that in very specific ways are more intelligent than human beings. But in the sense that we speak of consciousness and awareness, we can say, well, I can see that Watson definitely has, if I can see awareness in a rock that gets scratched or jumped, then most definitely Watson's got that kind of awareness. But when it comes to consciousness and the subjective experience that we were talking about, that's very difficult for us to see in a rug or in Watson. And they seem to be different things. So in a way, intelligence, while it's very closely related to awareness and consciousness, right, is something different. It's an ability to manipulate information. And it's a very important ability that we have. And it's something that we use our consciousness for. I mean, sometimes the question is asked, well, why are we conscious anyway? What purpose does it serve? And where consciousness seems to serve the greatest purpose is when something new, unusual, challenging arises, then we focus our consciousness on it and we use our intelligence to manipulate information, rearrange it, come up with new ways of looking at things, new solutions to problems, new ways of responding. the consciousness and intelligence in human beings work very, very closely together. And all of the wonderful supercomputers that we make are useless piles of hardware without consciousness to generate a purpose and intention and so forth. So they seem to be closely related but different, almost parallel. And it's conceivable that something could be enormously intelligent, not just in a narrow sense, but in a broad sense, and still not have the qualities of consciousness that we see in ourselves and other sentient beings. But then, too, when we realize the sort of that consciousness does seem to somehow lie at the essence of everything, we have to ask ourselves, well, how do we know that that isn't conscious in a way that's not obvious to us? If that's the case, then maybe Watson's conscious, and supercomputers are conscious. Things that we'll build in the future will be even more known.
Would you say that what we call consciousness is really multiple processes going on, and that there's not one awareness, there's not one intelligence, there's not one consciousness, or is there this one energy that... Because you said, look at our own, observe ourselves and stuff. So it seems to me what I observe is our multiple processes that sort of come together in some ways and sometimes don't come together.
That's exactly what I see, too.
Okay.
When I look inside my own mind, I see there's a huge multitude of processes taking place, and not a single one of them is conscious by itself. Not in the sense that we've been talking about most recently, maybe in the sense of chip drop, but not a single one of them is consciousness in that subjective sense. But when I look at my own mind and I watch the process, when I watch consciousness arising and consciousness passing away, what I'm aware of taking place is a convergence of a lot of these processes. And when they converge, consciousness is there. When they disperse, consciousness passes away. And I'm also aware that to speak of a consciousness or I am consciousness, a conscious in the singular, in those moments of greatest introspective clarity, I don't see that anymore. I see rather there are a variety of consciousnesses of different degrees instead of just one.
So is it just one of those consciousness doing the observing of the consciousness passing away?
That's what the experience is like, is one consciousness watching other consciousnesses arise and pass away. Yes.
Can emotions be a link between...
Can what?
Emotions.
Emotions be...
A link between consciousness and intelligence. The emotional quality to see the whole picture.
Well, it depends on what you mean by a link between. Emotions seem to be, I would say that emotions are a kind of intelligence. They're a different kind of intelligence than sort of logical, analytical intelligence. But that's the other thing. I find that in my mind, there's a variety of different kinds of intelligence. And emotion is one of them. And it's a very powerful, but in some ways it's powerful, but in some ways it's not very sophisticated. It's a rather crude kind of consciousness. But it can take a variety of information or a complex event that's unfolding and crystallize it into a single emotion, which tends to shift my whole conscious being in one particular direction. You know, so it's like a form of intelligence that takes all the same information that other forms of intelligence are working on, and it processes it in its way, and the result of its processing is to put me in a particular mental state.
And it's definitely different than the machine, from the intelligence of a machine, right?
Yes, right. But that isn't to say that somebody couldn't program a machine to act as though it had